Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. afternoon to all of my precious brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I am so glad you tuned in to today's broadcast. I am your brother, your servant in Christ, your host, Radio Shepherd. And we are talking about Hannah. Hannah, the woman who was really going through a great deal. Hannah was going through a great deal. And yet, she... Now, we know all about Hannah. We've heard about Hannah, her famous prayer. We've heard about it in Sunday school, but today we want to go deeper than we ever have in Sunday school. Because as I was sharing with you last week, a great many of us, we're just battling so many different things in life that it is those battles, really, that rob us from wrestling with God in prayer. I'm convinced that the devil will have us shutting down this fire and shutting down that fire. You know, the devil is good at starting fires. And he does that in order to keep us preoccupied. He does that in order to keep us occupied. He does that to frazzle us. He does that to keep us up at night. And when you're worrying about how do I shut off this fire in my life and how do I control this blaze in my life and the devil, the fire starter, he will have you trying to shut off 20 fires at one time. Now, while you're doing that, he knows you're not thinking about praying. You're not thinking about seeking God for the kingdom. He knows you're seeking God for your personal situation. And if he can get you to focus on your situation rather than on the big picture, which is the kingdom of God at large, you know, if we could just learn to pray for the church, if we can learn to do Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things necessary to life will be added unto you. We worry about all the things we need for life. And Jesus says you shouldn't do that. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, get involved in God's kingdom vision. Now, that is not to negate the fact that you have things you are worrying about. But Jesus says, don't worry about your things. Become concerned with God's things. And if you take care of God's things, if you are focused on God's things, God will in turn take care of your things. And a perfect example of a woman being put through the fire is Hannah. We saw how Hannah had a mess going on in her house. How Hannah had this soap opera kind of life. She just had a soap opera kind of life. Here is this woman who loves God, serves God, a godly woman. Hannah is by all accounts a godly woman. And yet, she's got so much drama going up in her house. She's just got a whole lot of mess going on in your house. And you know, when you got mess going on in your house, you can't focus on God and his kingdom. You're so consumed with the drama and the novella and a soap opera situation in your home. How many can say, man, can I get a witness today? So we saw last week how Hannah had a soap opera existence. And that's how many of us are today in 2016. We're just crippled. These kinds of situations just cripple us. They hamper us from going forward. Kinds of existences, these kinds of situations, just keep us from progressing. They stagnate our spiritual growth. And this was Hannah's situation. So today I want to talk to you. I want to move on from Hannah and her soap opera existence to Hannah's prayer. To Hannah's prayer / vow. Because Hannah prays, but her prayer is in the form of a vow. And a vow is when God allows you to cut a deal with him. A vow is a verbal contract. A vow is a verbal promise that we make to God, that if he does such and such for us, we promise to do such and such for him. You know, there's a clown on so-called Christian television called Robert Tilton. And Robert Tilton became rich, filthy rich, and I emphasize filthy. Robert Tilton became filthy rich because he started to talk about vows in the Bible, vows. And yes, you can find vows in the Bible, but Robert Tilton would tell people, well, you make a $1,000 vow. You send me the $1,000. Tell God you're making a $1,000 vow. Now, the kind of vows I'm talking about carry no money with them. God's vows, the vows made in the Bible, had nothing to do with money per se. They had to do with worship. We pray, we make a vow, we cut a deal with God, and then afterwards, we bring what we promised to God as an act of worship. So today we want to go over Hannah's soap opera existence, Hannah's prayer / vow, Hannah's miracle, number three, Hannah's miracle, and then number four, Hannah's gift. So if you're writing these things down, so I want you to write down Hannah's soap opera existence. Hannah's soap opera existence, that's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Then we want to look at Hannah's, number two is Hannah's prayer / vow. That's 1 Samuel chapter 9 through verse 18. So again, point number one, Hannah's soap opera existence, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Number two, Hannah's prayer / vow is 1 Samuel verse 9 through 18. Then point number three, Hannah's miracle is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. And then point number four is Hannah's gift to God. Hannah's gift to God, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. So those are my 4 points for today. So now let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1, because we want to go over Hannah's soap opera existence. We just want to read those verses, make a little bit of comment, and then move on to point number two. So Hannah's soap opera existence is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Let us read.
The Bible, King James Version, 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives, the name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?
And there you have it. Now here you have a man by the name of Elkanah, and he has 2 wives, and then we read that he went up to the house of the Lord to worship. Now, this guy's not a Mormon. Elkanah's not a Mormon. God doesn't believe in you having multiple wives. Now, there was a loophole in the law of Moses. There was a loophole for the purpose of seed, that if you had one wife and she could not bear you children, then you were allowed by the law of Moses to have a second wife for the purpose of bearing children. But as you can see, that just brought so much disharmony in Elkanah's house, having 2 women, one woman bearing him children, the second wife, Penina, bearing him children, and mocking the other woman, making fun of the other woman, saying to the other woman, yes, you are his first wife, but I am his preferred wife. I'm his preferred wife because I give him children. You're a loser. You're a loser, Hannah. I can only imagine the words, the back and forth, the drama, I can just see the stuff flying in the house. And this is supposed to be a home where the Lord reigns. Here is Elkanah. Every year he goes to the house of the Lord, like the law of Moses says, and you're to bring your gifts to God. You're to bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. You're supposed to bring your first fruits to the Lord. And we read that Elkanah did this. He took his 2 wives. He took their children to the tabernacle, to Penina, his wife, and to her children. He gave them portions for the offering. But to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, a bigger portion. And yet with all of Hannah's sowing and all of Hannah's giving, she still was not a blessed woman. And so we can see that here at verse number 8, Elkanah says to her, why are you weeping? And why is it that you're not eating? Why? Why? And why is your heart so grieved? Why? Because she has a miserable existence. As you can see, the text tells us twice that she finds herself, does Hannah, in this difficult situation because it is the Lord and nobody else. Now notice, saints, notice, when you go to many of these wacky churches today, the reason why you don't have this and the reason why you don't have that is because the devil. No. Here in the text, we're told that the devil is nowhere to be found. If anybody jacked up Hannah, and I'm using that slang term, if anybody jacked her up, if anybody messed up her life, in quotes now, if anyone has made her existence a soap opera, a novella, if anyone has made her existence miserable, it was the Lord. For it is he, says the inspired writer, who purposely shut up her womb. Now, of course, we know that God is sovereign and God can do whatever he wants with his creatures. But here is poor Hannah, Elkanah's first wife. I can only imagine the day that she got married. She must have been happy. I'm married. I found the man of my dreams. We're going to live happily ever after. And year after year, they try to have children, no children. So Elkanah, getting up in years now, gets himself a second wife, and she's having babies left and right. And while she's having babies, she is taunting Hannah and saying, you are a loser. And everyone knew that it was the Lord who had shut up Hannah's womb. Now, you know, it was Lewis H. Evans Jr. who said, "The man who kneels to God can stand up to anything." Again, Lewis Evans Jr., the great evangelist, once said, "The man who kneels to God, the man or the woman who kneels to God can stand up to anything." And it was the other evangelist, Fred Beck, who said, "If you are swept off your feet, it's time to get on your knees." No doubt, no doubt, Hannah had been knocked off her feet. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt that Hannah now is on her knees. And so now we move to point number two, Hannah's prayer slash vow. And that's found in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Let us read together.
So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad.
And there you have it. Hannah, who was just living a miserable existence in her home, now decides to pay God a visit. She went to the house of God. She went to God's tabernacle. She went to the place where she knew God would be. And there she makes a deal with God. It says in verse 11, and it says, and she vowed a vow. You see, what is a vow? A vow is not a contract that's on paper. A vow is something, it's a contract that you make verbally with God. It is something that comes out of your lips. And she said, God, I'm cutting a deal with you. Here is the deal. You remove my reproach of being a barren woman. You remove that stigma. You remove that bad reputation that I am cursed of the Lord. Lord, you can do it. And if you do it, if you remove the bad reputation, if you can remove the stigma, if you can remove the gossip, if you can remove the lies that are being said about me, if you in your mercy can remove them, and give me specifically, I'm asking you for a man-child. I'm not asking you for a daughter. I'm asking you for a firstborn man-child. If you give them to me, I'll give them right back. Now, that sounds like a crazy prayer. That sounds like a crazy, I mean, you want God to give you a child and then you're going to give them to God? Don't you want the child? Yes, I want the child. But what I'm going to do, this is the deal I'm making with God. I want him to give me a son. But then I'm going to give him to God because God's house is also undergoing drama. See, it's not just my house undergoing drama. God's house is undergoing. Well, how do we know God's house? Well, because we were told in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Samuel 1, 3, it says, "And this man went up to the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were stationed there." Those two scoundrels, those two sons of Eli's were scoundrels. Those two sons of Eli were having intimacy with the women. They were having intercourse with the women who were coming to the tabernacle. Can you imagine that? Here you have two ministers. They're the sons of the high priest. Let's put it in context. Let's put it in today's vernacular. Here we have two associate pastors, and they are the sons of the bishop of the church. And the bishop's two boys are bedding the women in the church. Not only are these two scoundrels bedding the women of the church, but also they're dipping their hands into the offering and they're taking stuff out of the offering. These two demon seeds, if you will, Hophni and Phinehas, these two demon seeds were the ones who have turned God's house, along with their permissive father, Eli. This trio had turned God's house into a soap opera. They had turned God's house into a novella. So Hannah prays. She prays. This is her prayer. This is her vow. God, listen to the deal I want to cut with you, Lord. Listen, Lord, to the deal that your handmaiden wants to cut with you. Lord, are you ready to deal? Lord, are you ready to wheel and deal? And listen, God put wheeling and dealing in the Bible. Yes, he did. If you read Genesis chapter 28, Jacob vowed a vow. He said, "God, if you would be with me where I go, if you would be my God, if you would bless me, if you would prosper me." That's what Jacob said. Read Genesis 28, where it says, "And Jacob vowed a vow." And he said, "If you would be my God, that means, God, if you have my back and you go with me, you be my bodyguard everywhere I go, and you prosper me, you show me how to go from nothing to becoming a millionaire. If you bless me, if you prosper me, and you bring me back to my father's house in safety, then you will be my God, and then I will give you a tithe of everything you..." So notice, Jacob says, "Hey, God, you bless me, and I'm going to give you 10%. Now, we know God's into wheeling and dealing, because everything Jacob asked, God gave it to him. Everything he asked, God gave. Now, here we have Hannah. Hannah's ready to wheel and deal with God, and God is ready to wheel and deal with her. And she vows a vow. What does she say? "God, I'm on my knees. I'm all broken up. You jacked me up. The word out in the street is, you shut my womb. It was you, Lord, who shut my womb. Now in my house, because you shut my womb, my husband got himself another woman. And she's having babies, going out of style. And Lord, she's making my life miserable. She's calling me a loser." And I'm trying to put it in today's context. "She's calling me a loser. Now, God, I want to cut a deal. I want you to give me a firstborn son. I don't want a girl. I don't want a daughter. I want a son. Now, the reason why I want a son is because firstborn sons were very prized. I want to turn around. Once you give me this firstborn son, that's going to be the apple of my husband's eyes. Once you give me this son, I'm going to turn around, Lord. After you deal with my mess in my house, after you remove the soap opera existence that I have, once you eliminate that, then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to give you this boy so that you can raise him up, so that he can replace Eli, so that he can replace Hophni, so that he can replace Phinehas, so that you don't have no more drama in your house too, Lord. You see what she's saying to God? God, I'm here in prayer. I'm on my knees. I heard, Lord, that if you swept off your feet, it's time to get on your knees. I heard, Lord, that anyone who kneels to you can stand up to anything. So here I am, Lord. I'm kneeling before you, and I'm cutting a deal. Are you game? Are you in? Now, you can vow all you want. You can vow, but it's up to God to fulfill his end of the bargain. Now, you can put whatever contract you want before the Lord. You can make whatever deal you want, but God doesn't have to take it. You can utter the vow, and you only fulfill the vow if God comes through. If he doesn't come through, then you don't have to fulfill your part of the vow. If God doesn't go for the deal, then you're not obligated to do anything for God. You only do if he does. You only do if the Lord comes through. So we saw, point one, Hannah's soap opera existence. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Point two, we saw Hannah's prayer vow. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. Now we want to look at Hannah's miracle. Hannah's miracle, and that's 1 Samuel 1, 19 through 20.
And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him.
And there you have it. There's her miracle. What does she ask for? What specifically did she ask for? She asked for a son, a firstborn son. And that's exactly what God gave her. The Bible says that she went home after making her prayer, after making a vow. She went home. She had intimacy with her husband. She conceived, the Bible says. It says God remembered her. And I love the word remembered, because the Bible also says that about Noah. If you read Genesis chapter 8, the ark was going nowhere fast. The ark was going nowhere. The ark was just on top of the waters, stagnant. And then the Bible says, and God remembered Noah and everything that was in the ark, creature that was in the ark. God remembered Noah and every creature. And God caused a great wind to blow upon the face of the earth to dry up the water. You see, when God remembers you, God goes into action. When God remembers you, you know, it also says of Jacob's wife, Rachel, it says that she prayed to the Lord, and the Bible says, and God remembered Rachel. The word remember in Hebrew really means an appointment. God set up an appointment. God paid Noah a visit. God paid Rachel a visit. God paid Hannah a visit. You see, you need to hook up an appointment with God. That's what you need. You're chasing your pastor. You're trying to get an appointment with the pastor. And the appointment is 6 months from now. And most likely, when that day comes closer, when you're a week away, probably you'll get a phone call from the pastor's secretary saying, "Well, we're gonna have to give you another appointment because the pastor won't make it." But you see, when you make an appointment with God, He comes through. He doesn't cancel. Keeps His appointments. Stop chasing your pastor and chase God. Seek the Lord. Seek God. Make your vow before the Lord. And the Bible says, and Hannah conceived, and she bare a son, and she named him Samuel. Shama El. Shama hears, and El, the strong one. Well, what does she name them? She said, the strong one heard me. Who's the strong one? El. Like in El Shaddai and Elohim. You see, El, that's why Jacob, the place where Jacob made his vow, he called it Beth El, the house of El, the house of the strong one. See, the reason why you're not getting any results is because you're going to the weak ones. Hannah said, no, I got this boy, and I'm going to name him Samuel. Why? Because the strong one heard me. And he just didn't hear, he answered. And here's the proof. The boy right there, standing, that's the boy, that's my miracle right there. He's not only my miracle, he's God's miracle. You see, saints, when we pray, not only does God answer our soap opera, He finds a solution for His soap opera. This is why we got to cut everything out and just go back to prayer. We are not praying. Like Lewis H. Evans Jr. said, a man who kneels to God can stand up to anything. Hannah's miracle. What was her miracle? Her miracle was that God remembered her. God showed up for the appointment. And God blessed her womb, and she conceived, and she bare a son, and she called him Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord, and here he is. He's been hand-delivered. Now, let's go to Hannah's gift. Hannah's gift, point number four, is 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 1, 24 through 28.
And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there.
Now notice, saints, as soon as the child was weaned, as soon as the child had reached the age of 3 to 4 years old, as soon as he was no longer on the natural bottle, that's what weaned means, When a child is a suckling babe, he's on the natural bottle, nature's bottle, which is his mama. Once he was off nature's bottle, she brought him to the house of the Lord. She brought him to Shiloh. Not only did she bring the child, which was the main gift to God, but she also brought other offerings to the Lord, other offerings. And then she said to Eli, she says, listen, this is the child that I prayed for. This is the child that I asked God for, and the Lord has given him to me. I asked specifically for this child, and God answered me specifically. And then she goes on to say, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And the boy, little Samuel, it says, and the chapter ends with little Samuel worshiping the Lord. You see, do you have a mess in your house? Do you have drama in your house? Do you have a situation? Talk to God. Ask him to give you something that will end the drama in your house, and ask him to give you something that will also end the drama in him. See, he can, in one thing, he can give you a drama ender. You see, what was Samuel? Samuel was the kind of prophet God raised up that constantly stopped drama. He stopped drama in his mama's house, and he stopped drama in God's house, and then he went on to be a great prophet in Israel who stopped the drama everywhere. And that's what we need today. But those things only come when we pray. Not when we sing, not when we preach, not when we teach, not when we dance before the Lord, but when we pray. Saints, when are we going to learn our lesson? When are we going to pray? I pray that we will start today. That'll do it for today, saints. I'll be back next week with more. I want to end today's broadcast with the hymn, Did You Think to Pray? Perhaps you thought that you can get the victory by giving. Perhaps you thought you can get the victory by singing. Perhaps you thought you can get the victory by confessing. No. Did you think to pray, just like Hannah? God bless you, saints.